Hello everybody, and welcome to this virtual service from Sutcliffe Baptist Church, also known as Olney Baptist Church. So welcome to you all, and the Lord bless you all. We're going to pray first, and then we're going to read. And the reading today is from Acts chapter 11. I'll just give you the opportunity to get your Bible and to find it, Acts chapter 11. And then after the reading, we'll have some prayers of intercession. And following that, we will have the message. So let's pray first. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can all come together in this way. Although we are not together, Father, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how we are today and our hearts and, Father, our concerns. And so we come to you, Father, for you love us through and through. And you sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. And, Father, we praise you for that. We praise you that we are your people and that we are known by you. And, Father, our trust is in you. And the faith that we have, you have given us. So, Father, we do thank you for this time when we can spend reading your word and speaking to you. And, Father, we do ask that you would encourage us, that you would bless us, that you would help us to understand. And, Father, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Father, we do thank you for this time. We praise you, for you are Lord of all, and Jesus is Lord. Help us, we pray, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 1. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had heard the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Let's pray, shall we, as we come to God with our prayers of intercession. Father, we do thank you that you are Lord of all. And Father, we do thank you that you are the holy and righteous God, that you are the King of Kings and Creator of all things. And indeed, Father, this whole earth comes under your jurisdiction, comes under your authority, and comes under your control. And we come to you as your people. And we come at this time of this coronavirus, when the world is beset by the problems of this disease. And firstly, Father, we want to thank you for our National Health Service and for all that they do normally, but in these particular difficult times, we pray for them. We pray for doctors and nurses and others who work in the NHS who do not have protective equipment yet. Father, we pray for that there will be sufficient equipment for personal use and delivered to the hospitals, and for all of those who need it, Father, that they will be properly protected. We do ask that you would help doctors and nurses and surgeons and all who work in the NHS, that you would keep them safe, Father, that you would protect them, and that you would help them in the work that they do, which is so vital at the moment in caring for those who are sick and unwell. Father, we do also pray that the National Health Service will be able to sustain all that is necessary. Please, Father, don't allow it to collapse, but Father, that it will provide all that is needed at this particular time. We pray for the government as well. We know that they are on Easter holidays at the moment, and Father, we do ask that you would help the government to make the right decisions, that you would give them wisdom and give you them understanding. And we pray for government advisors, for scientists, for all who are helping and advising the government. Father, we do ask that you would give them wisdom and understanding, and that the right decisions would be made by the government and by the advisers, Father, for the good of all. We do ask that you would protect this, our country, at this time, and Father, that you would contain the virus, and that you won't allow it to spread any further. Father, our trust is in you. And we think particularly of those who are elderly, Father, who are afraid and anxious that they might catch the virus. Father, we ask that you would protect them. We pray for those who live on their own, who, of course, can't go out at the moment. Father, we do ask that you would comfort them and give them peace and help them, and that there will be people, either neighbours or those who live in their town or village, who will be able to help them and come to their aid at this particular time. And Father, we pray for those in our country who, because of not being able to work, that they are running short of finances. And Father, that they are anxious as to how they would feed themselves and their families. We pray for them, Father, that you would meet their needs, and that they will have food to eat, and that they will have comfort and warmth. Father, for those in these kind of difficult circumstances, we do pray for them, that you would help them and meet their needs. And Father, we know that Spain and Italy are in particularly difficult circumstances at the moment. We pray for the governments of both Italy and Spain, and for the health service in both of those countries. Father, that you would help them and sustain them, and that you would contain this virus for them. So, Father, we bring all of these things to you. We thank you that we've been able to bring these petitions and prayers to you. And we know that you have heard us. And, Father, we do thank you that you are our God. And we bring these prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, as we've had this reading in chapter 11 of Acts, perhaps if you'd like to keep your Bibles open, please, and because I will be referring to some specific verses as we go along. At the end of chapter 10, we read how Gentiles were brought into the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here in chapter 11, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, he was criticized by the other apostles for associating with Gentiles and eating with them. Such was this enormous division between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews regarded Gentiles as inferior people. In the Old Testament, God wanted his chosen people, the Israelites, to be a light to the Gentiles. But they had failed in that mission. And over the centuries, the Israelites just believed they were God's favorite people. Therefore, it was unthinkable to them that God would allow Gentiles into his spiritual family. So Peter, when in Jerusalem, faced with criticism from fellow apostles, explains that it is God's purpose and will that Gentiles are acceptable to God by putting their trust in Jesus. Peter goes on to explain that he had received a vision from God of a white sheet containing clean and unclean animals and birds. He was commanded by God to kill and eat. But Peter's response was, "Surely not, Lord, Nothing impure or unclean has entered my mouth. But God replied, Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and also Peter was told by the Holy Spirit to go with three Gentile men who would call at his house. The three men call at Peter's house, and Peter and six of his friends go with them. Peter is on his way to Caesarea, to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile. Peter explains to his fellow apostles in Jerusalem that Cornelius had also had a visitation from God in the form of an angel, whose message is, Send for Peter who lives in Joppa. He will bring a message through which your family will be saved. Cornelius, therefore, is waiting for Peter and his friends to arrive, and Peter is on his way. Do you see what is happening here? God is bringing Jews and Gentiles together, and they're going to be in the same house together. God is overriding Jewish social and religious conventions to bring these two groups together. This house meeting consists of Cornelius, who has invited neighbours and friends, and Peter and his six friends. And Peter begins to preach to the group. And as Peter preaches the good news of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles, just as it came upon us, Peter explains to his Jerusalem apostles. God gave these Gentiles the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus. Peter continues, Who was I to think that I could oppose God? When the apostles in Jerusalem heard this, they had no further objections, and praise God, saying, So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. God has done a really great thing here, for we now have Christian Gentiles and Christian Jews. It is also a reminder that salvation is available to all. For you will remember what it says in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and I'm going to read those. Verse 16 and 17, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 16 says, Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17 says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The Bible makes it quite clear that salvation is open to all who believe. Because Jesus died on the cross for all nations and for all peoples, for rich and poor, for male and female. God very often uses hardship and difficult situations that affect his people for his own will and purpose. And this is one of those examples. For we read in verse 19 of this chapter 11 that those who were persecuted by the Jews after Stephen's death scattered to other towns and cities in other countries. Some went to Phoenicia, that is modern-day Lebanon. Some went to Cyprus, and others travelled to Antioch in Syria. And in these locations, they told the message to Jews. Others, the Bible explains, tells us that men from Cyprus and Cyrene. Now Cyrene, that is on the North African coast. Men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and spoke the message to Greeks. The message, of course, is the good news about Jesus Christ. So out of this persecution of believers in Jerusalem, the gospel is spread much further afield, both to Jews and to Gentiles. Of course, this is just the opposite of what the persecutors in Jerusalem would want. They wanted to stop the spread of the gospel, and they also wanted to eliminate believers. There is one thing of which we can be absolutely sure. You cannot stop the purposes of God, for he is sovereign and Lord over all the earth. What we learn from Christian church history is when the church is persecuted, it usually grows stronger, not weaker. And so we read in verse 21, as the result of men speaking about Jesus, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord in Antioch. News of all this reached the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of God's grace, he was glad and encouraged all the believers to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. The Bible tells us that Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. In verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus, found Saul, and brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The believers in Antioch were called Christians, as the Bible tells us. So the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. You can imagine the excitement in the church at Antioch as people began to trust Jesus as their Saviour, and as they told of what God had done for them and how they experienced God's peace and his forgiveness. Also, for those outside the church, curious to know what all this joy and excitement is about. It must have made a big impact on the city, particularly as news in those days was conveyed by word of mouth. In the closing verses of this chapter, we read of a severe famine that would affect the Roman world. The disciples in Antioch decided to provide help for the believers in Jerusalem. This they did, and sent their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is an encouraging chapter, as I'm sure you will agree. We see God at work in a powerful way, building his kingdom and building his church as he brings Jews and Gentiles together. And God also teaches Peter and the Jewish leaders that he, God, has no favorites. Whatever our background, whether we are educated or not, whether we have status in our community or not, whether we are poor or rich, we are all one in Christ Jesus, as Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3. It is really something to praise God for, and to give thanks and praise to Jesus for dying for us on the cross. Just a word of encouragement before closing. In this chapter, we are reminded of God's love and grace and his overarching purposes. He cares for each one of us and knows each one of us by name. Let's encourage each other that during this coronavirus outbreak, we will pray for greater faith and greater strength, and trust God, for only he knows the beginning and the end. And we praise his name. Amen. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father, we do ask that you will bless your people and encourage your people. Father, we do ask that you would make our faith stronger and that you would strengthen each one of us. Father, we pray for any who are anxious, who are listening to this today, that you would take away their anxiety and give them peace and bless them. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.